What's going on, everybody? Happy Friday. In a tradition we're trying to start, we're doing free form Fridays, trying to go live, get your conversation, get your topics, whatever it is. We're going to talk about how strong the receiver room is, get your comments, and then talk a little bit about who are the five most impactful transfers for the 23 season. We're going to talk about all that and more in today's Locked On Badgers. Let's go.
You are Locked On Badgers, your daily podcast on the Wisconsin Badgers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to Free Form Friday. Really do appreciate everybody tuning in. As always, this one's impromptu. I'm trying to do a better job of scheduling these, but it is what it is. Today's show is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. We're going to bring Justin in. We're going to get a bunch of your comments. What's up, Mike? Mike says hi. We're going to get a bunch of your comments. Appreciate you tuning in, Mike, as always. And I want to start here, though. Justin, CJ Williams, you weren't on the show yesterday. We talked a lot about him, so we're not going to talk a ton about CJ today. But what's your quick takeaway there? What did it mean to you?
Okay, so there's a couple different ways to look at it. There's most important transfer. There's biggest transfer. In terms of how Wisconsin is viewed in the landscape of college football, getting guys like CJ Williams is the type of power play that people thought isn't possible by Wisconsin. Like Graham Mertz kind of opened the door for us with the high-level quarterback recruit that we could get and prove that we could do it. CJ Williams is that guy for high-level skill talent that everyone has said for 30 years, Wisconsin can't do this. You know, they're in Wisconsin. They don't have the recruiting territory around them. They can't do this stuff. And what did we find out? Recruiting is more about coaches than it is about what your national area around it. Why do you think that Ryan Day can go get five stars from all over the country? Because he's Ryan Day, and they have a high-octane offense that people want to come play in, regardless of if it's 1,000 miles from home.
Mm-hmm. So, and regardless if it's Ohio State or not. I mean, certainly that's not out of the picture, but people want to play in fun systems with good, successful coaches.
Well, you and I talked about this offline before, we never did it on the show, but I've said it before. It's not just offense. Defensive players come to a system like that because they see that on TV and they go, that team looks so cool. And offense, it is a thing. Like we've seen how it affects defense. Like it does escalate defensive recruiting if you have a really good defense. But if you're kicking everyone's butt, then the defense, like you can have a mediocre defense and win 50-14 just because the offense is so good that teams start to throw the ball more and they take more chances, which can very easily kind of spiral out of control.
Well, if you remember and for the people in the chat, people are going to watch this later, people in the comments, if you remember the attack at Curtis recruitment, right? The big time linebacker it was us or USC. He went to USC. I can tell you from a source, he was concerned about Wisconsin's offense. Like he was concerned about going somewhere and playing for a team that couldn't compete at the highest level because of the offense. So
Brandon Dorman last year, or Braden
Dorman this year.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, last year. Cycle. Yep.
Yeah. Last Same cycle thing. Said flat out, I don't love the offense. We've had numerous recruits since Fickell has taken over say, I didn't love the offense at Wisconsin. That's why I didn't take them more seriously in my recruitment. So what are you seeing here is that kids don't want to play in a system that they feel like may put a ceiling on what they can do. And this is where Phil Longo comes in, and he's basically like the dude that's like, hey, let's party. Like, we're going to go out there. We're going to score 60 today.
Yeah. I can't wait for it. Roll Badge says it's amazing what an actual recruiting department can do. Yeah, we didn't even have one for like a year, which it still blows my mind. We're not going down that road. Justin, I want to now transition into the receiver room itself. Three transfers have come in, plus Tretch, who we love, plus basically everybody from last year. Like, how strong is this receiver room? And if you could, give me, like, your top five.
If I was going to say what I would grade it at right now, I would put us at a strong A-. And I say that simply because I think you have a top-level guy in Williams who I think his ceiling is – that's a first- or second-round draft pick. And I say that knowing that he hasn't done anything on the field. I say that that's his ceiling. I think you have a couple other guys that are more of, like, a draftable-type guys. I think Bell, DK – Lewis are all guys that I feel like their ceiling is they can get picked in the draft. And then I think you have a guy like Tretch. I don't know what his ceiling is. he could be Julian Edelman. He could be an average college receiver. I do love him as a player. If I was going to say right now, and I do think like there's a lot of interchangeable pieces in this. Like I know we look at the guys, the Pauling and Burrows are two guys that I don't know a lot about. Burrows, if you look at just raw ability, is right there with Lewis in terms of guys that you look at that from raw ball of clay. Like his ceiling is he could turn into a guy that's an NFL draft pick. We don't, and plus he didn't play last year, so we don't really know what he is. But we have a lot of guys that are grouped really tight. Like if I was going to call a top five, here's how I would say I'm doing this off what I think physical talent, not production. CJ Williams is number one.
Well, no, let's do for next year though. Let's do who you think you're going to be
the top five. I think CJ Williams ends up being the number one receiver by the time all is said and done.
Ooh, okay.
I think DK is going to be number two, DK or Bell. And these two are basically 2A and 2B. It could be either Bell or him. I think Lewis will still be the deep threat. I think he's going to get a lot more playing time than he had last year. And I think Tretch is going to be a slot guy. And I think that he could be a guy that gets 20 catches coming into this year because I think, listen, he screams guy that's going to be a problem on a third and five. Like you're going to run him on a slant route or a quick out, and he's going to be a guy that if you get a safety or a linebacker on him, you're in trouble. And I think that's going to happen to teams that probably don't feel super confident in the Big Ten with their nickel guys. Like, Tretch is a guy who's going to eat a bad nickel up.
I was going to say, forget nickel guys. I mean, teams are going to have to go deeper than that in the Big Ten to guard Bongo's system. And that's where it's going to be really interesting. Mm-hmm. Let me see how your list lines up with mine. I have DK1. I need to see something from CJ before I put him at number one.
And that's why I say it's just physical talent. Like, DK has clearly proven the most.
But I have Williams playing. Like, so I have Williams in the top three. I have him and Bell kind of interchangeably. I have Keontae Lewis. And then I have Pauling instead of Tretch. I think Pauling and Tretch are similar, but Pauling's more experienced. That's my five. And then in the next tier, this is my tier of guys that are going to fight to get playing time. I have Marcus Allen and Tretch.
I think that's fair. Marcus Allen will be very interesting. We've heard some things about him in the offseason. It's if he's going to bring his lunch pail and come to work, and he's going to have to be quiet and just play hard. Because I can tell you right now, that if it things will spiral for him very quickly if he's not a guy that wants to come in and compete. And 100%. And we've you know, as far as we know, Wisconsin is still, it sounds like, going after Bryson Green out there. So if that's a guy they bring in, like, this could get really complicated. And obviously the best guys are going to play, but I think fans need to get used to the fact we're probably going to see some people walk out the door.
Oh, we're going to get into that in one of the next segments. But yes, we are absolutely going to. And Brady Steinberg says the same thing. Brady, thank you for tuning in. Still in it with Bryson Green would put the room over the top. Here's the thing. When we were doing this, Justin was sky high on CJ Williams for obvious reasons. I was more of the mind that I think Bryson Green is just as good. I think Bryson Green is a stud. He led Oklahoma State in touchdowns last year. If you got him and CJ Williams – I mean, this room is an eight.
The room is probably,
well, I'm not
at worst second place to, but on paper, probably second place to Ohio State.
Yeah, it would be really good. It's really good, in my opinion, without Bryson Green, potentially. The other thing I would say here, and we've talked about this a lot, is there are so many moving pieces. The competition is going to make everybody else better. Mm-hmm. Marcus Allen, like, he's almost been a forgotten dude. This was a guy everybody was super excited about. He's a big body, physical guy. There was some lofty Anquan Boldin type body type comparisons. This was a Michigan commit that Wisconsin got in on. He's really good for Wisconsin. Yeah. And now it's kind of like,
he's got top five skill set, but I think what happened was with the whole transfer thing and everything, we now have questions about the head and heart, and we need to see that from him. And I'm not saying that it's not there. I'm saying that now he's got to prove himself that he's going to be the guy who is going to be team first, is going to bust his butt. And if he really works hard, he's a guy who's capable of getting on the field and making plays.
Yep. He's similar to CJ in a way where he can be a really big bodied physical receiver. If he's able to make it work. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Mike Witt says, can't wait to see Bell in this offense. Can't wait to see all of them in this offense, Mike. But Bell is explosive.
Yeah.
I mean, he is going to be really, really good. Brent McDonald says Williams will play. Agreed. Mitchell Lee says, dude, this offense is going to be insane. And Colby McColby, Great name. Says the receiver depth is going to be key, not just because Longo likes having enough guys to stay fresh, but also so Mordecai has more lottery tickets for finding a couple go-to dudes. Justin, how deep are we going to go in this depth chart? Do you think?
If I kind of did a scan over the UNC charts for pass catching for like a 5-year period, it's not unheard of for him to go 6 or 7 deep with wide receivers, guys that are in that 15 range for catches. So guys are going to play. And there's going to be time out there. And this is the type of offense where you may have a game where you put up 35 in a first half and guys are going to get out there in the second half and get some catches that are going to be like just racked up catches in meaningless time. But it's good. It's going to be good for them to develop and get, you know, reps out there on in a live game situation. So I think we're going to, this is the difference between the previous offense and this, is that there's going to be a lot more opportunity for guys to get out there and make plays. They may not be high leverage plays, but they'll get out there and get on the field and get opportunity to kind of, you know, work their way up and prove themselves a little bit.
Yeah, I agree 100% with that point. Two more comments to wrap it up. We got to go to a break. Roll Badge says my top five receivers are CJ, Sky Bell, Chim, Tretch, and Lewis. I think people might be forgetting about Pauling a little bit, but that's only a personal opinion.
Yeah. I think like I said, we're like 7 deep of guys, 7 or 8 deep of guys that are kind of interchangeable after the first couple.
And Mike Witt says Pauling will be a great punt returner. That could be a great role for him. I don't know if we'll see, but certainly is the explosiveness for him.
I was going to say, that's actually where I think that he was partially brought in, was a guy that they view as a special teams, like a worst case. It's like he's going to be punt and kick return.
You know, another guy who was a very good punt returner in high school and just got switched to offense, Cade Yacomelli might be interesting in that role as well. Somebody to track. All right, we got to take a quick break, friends of the show. Coming up next, we are going to talk about our 5 most impactful transfers for the 2023 season. We're not talking upside. We're talking next year. We're doing that next on Locked On Badgers. But first, a word from our friends over at BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline is the place we go to for all of our betting needs. My futures, you know about it. But listen, Badger fans, we're going to want to get in on Badgers futures. Winning the conference, winning the Big Ten, winning the division. Let's get in on some of that action, because I think this ball is rolling and this train is leaving the station, and it's not going to stop. It's not going to stop no matter what's on those trains, on those train tracks. So I'm very excited about it. Go to BetOnline, do your live in-game betting, futures betting. They have you covered at every sport. Plus, they have sports podcast news, live casino games. It's all there at BetOnline. Grab your mobile device, head to the website today, BetOnline, where the game starts. Thank you so much for tuning in to Locked On Badgers. If you like the show, hit the subscribe button. It's really one of the best ways to support what we're doing here. And when you're done here, go check out Locked On College Basketball. Everything you need to know about the college basketball world in one place. Hear from big-time experts, insiders, coaches, and players. Locked On College Basketball, available on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, let's get Justin back in here. Keep talking it up. Lots of comments. If you're in the chat now, let us know, what are your 5 most impactful transfers coming into next year? Again, not the players in 2 years who are going to be the best, the players who are going to end up getting drafted. Just for next year, who makes the biggest impact? Justin, I got a 5 through 1. I want to start at 5, but I don't know if you want to just throw yours in there or if you want me to start.
Okay.
At 5, I got Darian Varner, the defensive end, 6.5 sacks last year. I think he's going to play a big role in the pass rush.
I would agree with that. I think that one of the big weaknesses coming into the season was where the pass rush is going to come from with Herbig moving on. And I think that he's a guy that can be disruptive. At worst case, he's going to be in pass rush packages. So he's a guy I definitely think that we'll see on the field that I think can definitely have an impact. Him and Petroski, I think, are both guys that are going to have that type of role. Worst case is be in pass situations.
Yeah, and for me, it was him and Petroski. I just kind of did a coin flip. I have, the Michigan State transfer in my honorable mentions. At 4, I got Nathaniel Vakos, the freshman All-American kicker out of Ohio. I just don't think you can overstate the importance of getting a kicker with a strong leg that has proven he can at least be reasonably accurate.
Yeah, from an impact standpoint, I might even have him actually higher of what he may have on the season overall. But there's nothing I would say against that at all. I will get into my couple of guys here coming on. Okay. I only have a top 3 right now, but yeah.
I bet you CJ Williams is in that top 3 because he
is actually not.
CJ Williams isn't in. Okay, I love it.
In terms of on impact on the season, he's not.
Okay.
But that's because I think that, well, I think we both know who number 1 is.
Yes.
So.
Agreed. Agreed. Jason Mitre, the cornerback transfer from Boston College.
Brandon Locke.
Listen, Brandon Locke is interesting to me. I have a point on him in a second.
There's nothing against either one of them, but no, those two guys, if something went wrong, if those two guys have an impact on the season.
Agreed. I got CJ Williams at three, just because I think, although he's not going to start at one, I think as the season goes on, his impact, he's going to get more and more impactful as the season goes on.
Yes, I would agree with that for sure.
So I got him at three. At two, I got Renfro. Such a big get. If you can land a starting center and just plug him in.
He's a guy who has potential all Big Ten type ceiling for him. So it's a big get for Wisconsin. Oh, yeah. He plays angry. And you got to love that.
I absolutely love it. So I got Jake Renfro, the big center, at number two. And then obviously Tanner Mordecai is number one, bringing in the stud quarterback. Let me get to a couple comments. And then, Justin, let's grab yours in. Brent McDonald says he goes Mordecai, Renfro, Williams, Petroski, and Burrow. Oh, you know, Quincy Burrow is interesting. You mentioned him, 6'2", 200 pounds. We got from a good source that he is
I think that's Burrong.
Oh,
the tight end.
Good call.
Yeah, there's smoke there. He has not been confirmed yet. I see the wink. We'll see. That would be interesting. I don't know how the tight end room is going to shake out. There are some things to do. I would not say that Clay is a foregone conclusion. We'll see how his athleticism comes back. But he is a guy that I think actually has high upside as a pass catcher in this. He's got to stay healthy. Jack Pugh is a guy. Mm-hmm. Listen, for all the guys that are talking about bringing in a guy like Burrong, Jack Pugh actually probably has better like raw physical skills than what Burrong does. So there's a high ceiling there, provided I know he was banged up last year. But there's a high ceiling for that kid too.
JT Seagreaves, another tight end that's going to be interesting in this offense. Athletic, former basketball player. Brian Strutz goes Mordecai, Renfro, Williams, Vacos, and Varner.
So I like that list.
Yeah, I like that one. That's a good list. And then Mike Witt goes Mordecai, Notre Dame tight end transfer, the Burrong. And then Varner, Pauling, and CJ. Yeah, Pauling, again – this is a really good group of transfers, right? You can easily put two or three others on this list and take two or three others off outside of Renfro and Mordecai. Pauling's going to play this year, and I think he's going to be the slot guy, and he can certainly be a special teams guy. Yeah. So I like that call too. Justin, who maybe do you have that I didn't have, or what do you have differently on yours?
I think Huber's got a chance to, I don't know if he'll be top five, but when I was talking about this with someone offline, I look at this and I say, here's where the impact of this transfer cycle for Wisconsin is so impressive to me, is that they're bringing in guys that are starting caliber. And basically everyone they brought in is not a depth guy. It's a guy that actually can challenge for the starting. And that's why I look at it like CJ Williams. He's a guy that could, if he ended up being a starter to start the season, you wouldn't be shocked. Huber would not be a shock to me if he ends up pulling one of the guard positions. You know, Renfro, I think we feel is pretty locked in at center. Mm-hmm. Maitre is going to end up being probably our slot corner. Like, I think that he's the guy with the most experience there. We feel good about him. Vacos is going to definitely be our kicker. There's legitimately in this transfer cycle, and this is not something you can say with a normal high school recruitment cycle, we could end up coming out of this with 10 starters off of the season. Like, even Varner or Petroski, if they prove that they can be on the field and can play up to the run, those two guys are capable of being starters in this defense, and they provide something that guys don't have right now. Like, I know they just confirmed today that CJ Getz is coming back. If Petroski comes back at that outside linebacker spot, he could challenge him and possibly take that from him.
Yeah.
He has more juice off the edge.
CJ is going to be an interesting spot going into kind of this new, potentially kind of altered defense. So again, I'm not convinced, by the way, and this is a topic we're going to see a wholesale change on defense. I think people are maybe going.
I think it's going to take some time. They're going to work with what they have a little bit there, and they're going to find out whether some of these guys can actually do what they want them to do in order to make that switch.
I agree. There's a bit of a misnomer that coaches can only coach like one way. You know, Mike Tressel, he's not only done a 3-3-5 in his coaching career. Neither has Luke Fickell, by the way.
They'll do what their talent dictates.
Right.
I think we knew that coming in. Agreed. Good coach. That's how good coaches work.
Agreed. All right, we're going to take a really quick break here, friends of the show. Coming back, we're going to take a bunch of your comments. I got some from the YouTube clips, from your listener comments. We got some in the chat. We're going to finish up with there as we try to do, again, trying to create this tradition of Freeform Friday where it's a lot of interaction with the community, with y'all, your comments, your questions, your thoughts, because we're all Badger fans together and we're building this thing together. So we're coming up next with your comments, but first a word from our show, our sponsors of our show, sorry. All right, let's bring Justin back into this. Justin, what's going on, my friend? Let's get some comments here. I'm going to start with, we're going to go back to the chat, but I did throw a couple from the YouTube videos. I pulled a couple of those off. Let's get those in here now. This is an interesting one to me from Slim Lewis. Slim, thank you for the comments. You've been on the show a lot. I think you are overrating the returning Badgers. Snowden and Moore are better than any of the returning DBs. Quincy and Tretch are better than any returning receiver besides Bell.
Okay. I'm going to be very blunt here. There's there's a difference between physical ability and on-field readiness and experience. Snowden, in terms of raw physical ability or talent, is probably the top guy in that entire room. That does not mean that he would be the most ready to play or even the most functionally or effective player out there. Like, there's something to be said for experience and knowing how to play. And technique, especially at the cornerback position, plays an absolutely huge role in that. Unless you're a freak athlete, which he is to a point, but he's not one of those guys. Like, the issue with Snowden that we need to find out is, can he do the short area things that you need a guy on to do that? You need a guy who can go out there, and if a guy is cutting, like making hard plays, like Ohio State wide receivers, for instance, those guys can run routes. He needs to be able to react and make up that quick one step of separation that they create instantly. And a guy who's seen that for 3 years in a program is different than a guy who's coming out of high school. Now, if we're talking third corner, yeah, you might see one of those guys break in out there because it's less likely that they're going to be just ripped apart in a game than your one or two corners. Hallman is probably the other guy right now.
Yeah, I would.
Hallman's got tools, just for everyone to say out there. Like, people forget that he was effectively a freshman on the field. So,
yeah, I'm mostly on your boat on this one. I love Snowden and Moore. Moore's going to play early, I think, in special teams and like a deeper safety room. But I don't think he's better than Kamoi Latu right now. Yeah. Like, I don't think he's better.
Or he's very similar to Brown.
Certainly, Alexander Smith is back as well. Like, I'm not putting Amari Snowden ahead of him.
No.
And in terms of receivers, I like Bell. I like Chimre. I like Keontez. I would just pump the brakes a little bit, even though I love all these guys coming in. Let's pop this up here from Adam N. How many scholarships do they have left? We get tons of variations of this. It doesn't matter. We're over, though.
Yeah.
We are over. And this
it doesn't matter.
You had mentioned players are going to be leaving. I said we're going to get into that segment because I had this comment queued up. Because we get this comment basically all the time, either in the Discord, on Twitter. They're over. They are over the scholarship limit, essentially. But
people
are going to leave in spring. You just have to be at 85 by the time fall practice starts.
Every year, there are guys that end up leaving, whether it's medical, whether it's wanting to go for more opportunity somewhere else. What Wisconsin would previously do is if they had a guy who was potentially a preferred walk-on or whatever, they would eventually just eat up the scholarships. Normally, it's only a couple guys. This year, I would expect more attrition than what you'd normally see. I think Fickell and them talked a lot of guys into come try it on, see how it fits, see if this is where you want to be. And then if it doesn't work out, then transfer in the spring. And I think that's what ended up happening is like, hey, you still have the opportunity to leave if you want to. Just take that opportunity then rather than now. I think there's going to be probably, I wouldn't be shocked if it's 7 to 10 guys that leave after the spring. So I think we'll still end up under the 85 cap. But I could see us even going up, we could be at 90 heading into spring camp.
And I have a running unofficial list in my head. It's not super hard if you go through the roster and you see players that may be buried on the depth chart, aren't from Wisconsin. You can find guys who won't surprise you if they transfer out.
Guys who have had injury problems over the last couple of years that couldn't stay healthy. Tight end room, we could have attrition, 2 or 3 guys from there. There have been guys that have been absolutely struggled with big-time injuries.
And Brett McDonald says we'll lose more than a few in the spring and a couple in the fall. Yep. And you're going to lose some maybe over the summer as well. Maybe some walk-ons don't get scholarships that they normally would. Like, it's going to be fine. But yes, we are basically over right now. One more comment from the YouTube side, and then we're going to get back into the chat. This was from Micah Piano Puster. I have no idea. Micah, we'll call this Mitchter. He said he would push. If you put the over-under at 10 wins, he would push. And he went on to give reasons, but the context of the message is too long for me to put up here. But essentially, Justin, I wanted to put this to you. Put this to the people in the chat. If I told you 10 wins over under next year.
It's probably between 9 and 10 for me. I kind of look at that at like 9 as a floor. Like if the offense hits, I just don't see enough of a backdrop on defense that we're suddenly looking at like, oh, the defense is going to be a top 50 defense rather than a top 10 defense. Like, what do we drop back to? Maybe 25? Like that, if the offense gets 7 points better, which would, by the way, not put us at a crazy high offensive, would put us at like what, 34, 33? With the weapons that we have in, and if they can actually get things spread out more, we will move the ball down the field better, just because I do think the offensive line has been maligned a little bit based off of what they've had to deal with. I think the running game will come around.
So I feel the offense like you're talking yourself into an over here.
I'm not, because I think that there are games where it could be tight, and it's just the things where you just don't quite have the experience end up you coming up short, or somebody misses a play or whatever. It's a luck thing a lot with Wisconsin. Like, I've been burned a few times where I thought we'd be higher. I think they can definitely do it. Like, if I was going to say best case scenario for them, I'm definitely saying it's over 10. Like,
this
I think
is the
they can
longest
be
answer to an over under question I've ever asked.
Well, okay. Here's the deal with the schedule that they have going into this next year. I think that they can beat every team, and I think they can beat every team by double digits. I also think there's a couple teams they could lose to.
Justin, over under 10.
Over, if you're going to push me.
Thank you. I'm going under. I think there's too many. If
there's a lot,
I would push 10. But if I have to say over under, I think there's a lot of issues that can still stem from a new coaching staff coming in. I think there's going to be a learning curve, a growth experience. By the way, don't rule out some weird potential locker room stuff with old players, new players mm-hmm. coming in.
There's a lot of changing.
There's a lot changing. I would push this if I could, but I made you go over under, so I'm going to go under. All right. Let's go. Let's get back to the YouTube chat. P also mentions, hey, Justin, you said this. There's a lot of luck to 9 sounds safe. Let's get into Howard. So Ryan 23791 talks about, I don't understand the Howard craze. And we had another comment up ahead talking about Jamel Howard. So it's kind of a mix for me, right? Nose guard, nose tackle is a huge need, and he fits that need. But this is where I think people maybe – he committed, he wasn't a huge commitment, right? And then you kind of stop paying attention to some degree. I'm not saying Ryan, you're doing that or anyone else, but once a guy commits, you kind of maybe stop really following him as much. Mm-hmm. He ended up picking up an LSU offer, an Ole Miss offer, Michigan offer. Like, those type of schools don't offer scrub defense alignment. This is an elite defense lineman recruit at this point who would fit a major need on the team. I think he's a huge get.
He's a big 3-4 guy, and that's what people don't understand is he's a legitimate need at a position that is not easy to find. And that's why you didn't see a lot of 4-3 teams coming after him, because he's very big bodied. Normally they want somebody that's a little bit more smaller, more twitchy on the defensive line. And don't get me wrong, he's very athletic and very twitchy for a guy his size, but it's not the same as a guy who's 280, 290 that can really move and has some length to him. So the difference there is that he's just a better fit for what we want him for. And other teams are like, wow, you know, he's kind of moves a lot better than most people at his size. He's kind of a plugger. He could be a really good guy in the run defense. And it's like, you see other teams kind of jump in. Those are big offers, and they're legit offers. Mm-hmm. Like, Brian Kelly had really good defenses at Notre Dame. If he wants them, you know that he's not a bad player.
And Mike Witt says, I'll be honest, defense scares me a little bit, especially if we don't get Howard. Now, I don't think Howard fixes the defense next year. That's the only thing. Keanu Benton stepped in right away and played, but yeah. He was also a wrestler. I think he was underrated. Howard might need a year, but Howard to me is a huge piece for the future. Mm-hmm. Brett McDonald has a great point here. These comparisons and criticisms are overdone, but it bears repeating that the Blue Bloods oversign every period, single period, year, period. Hashtag new
era.
They
process people every single year. Mm-hmm. To be fair, in major college athletics, if we're going to do the NIL and everything else, it's fair for a team, in my opinion, to say, hey, we don't necessarily think you're a fit here. There's probably not going to be a space for you on the field. It might be better for you to look for an opportunity at a place that's going to give you more playing time.
Agreed. Yeah, agreed. Tom Barnett says, we don't know, Ryan, who is on scholarship or who is getting tuition from NIL as a walk-on. This is a fascinating point.
All Wisconsin walk-ons get some level right. of NIL.
But there's a new kind of wrinkle to this where there was an idea that maybe you could use PWOs and enhance NIL to even maybe get some guys that you would normally get on scholarship to kind of get around the 85 scholarship guy limit. Now, I think all the guys coming in the portal.
There's another limit though, isn't there? I thought there was another one.
There's a max roster size, but certainly
it's 105, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's 105. I thought it was actually bigger, but it's like 105, 110. Yeah. Let me know in the comments, y'all, if you guys know what that max roster size is, because there is a max roster size, but potentially you could use, if let's say you had deep, deep pockets, you could buy a scholarship level player, put them on a walk-on, but just give them the NIL money to cover everything. It's an interesting avenue, potentially. Mm-hmm. Mike Witt brings up Travion Blaylock, could surprise people in the cornerback room. I mean, he was a safety before he got hurt.
But yeah, he's going to be a safety if he plays. I think he's more of a depth guy, and that has nothing to do with his ability. I just think these other guys have had more recent experience on the field, and it's going to be hard for him to break back in. Now, with a new coaching staff, there's going to be more opportunity than there would normally be. It's possible that he picks up on their schemes better than what, you know, a lot of these younger guys do. So we'll see. But there's a lot of talent in that room.
Tom Barnett says 110 on the roster size of things. Thanks, Tom. Yeah, that seems about it's right in that area. So certainly you're not going to have 30 walk-ons in that boat that we were talking about. So Brett McDonald says, great point. The moment student athletes choose to be treated like employees in order to get paid, they give up certain protections, in my honest opinion. Yeah, I mean, this is trending more towards a business, and that's a whole separate probably podcast. But if you're getting paid, you're getting NIL. Certainly the idea of the student athlete and the sanctity of it, some of that starts to go away.
Well, and with the transfer portal, we've seen already some of it. Like a lot of these kids want to take opportunities to go elsewhere. And we're finding out very quickly, like the seedy dark underbelly of the transfer portal is you have kids who had a scholarship who are not going to find an opportunity someplace else. And they effectively gave away a free college education by jumping into the transfer portal.
Yep. Which, by the way, I'll just really quick. Now, I can do a whole segment on this. I love the fact that they have the freedom to make a potentially bad decision because that's what all of us have. So
you have to weigh the good with the bad. You're betting on yourself, but there's a chance that, you know, you don't find that opportunity.
Yep. Which is no different from like if I leave my job to find a better opportunity. It's no different. Like I have that freedom. I'm glad athletes do as well. Rio C says, what's up, guys? What's up, Rio? And then Colin Most says, are we hiring a running back coach? We definitely are. How critical do you think that hire is? Extremely sorry to break from the receiver combo. No, Colin, this is what we're trying. This is what we want Fridays to be. We want it to be kind of free flowing.
I actually want to weigh in on this too, because I actually think it's a big deal.
I think it's a huge hire. Justin, go ahead.
Now the whole staff seems to be high level recruiters from what we've seen so far. But I think that is a spot where you have to have an A+ recruiter because they have more flexibility. Like there's just the running back room for most teams is a place you can stash an excellent recruiter on a team. I think it's an opportunity for Wisconsin to find somebody that is an A+ recruiter who is a good coach also. But listen, if we look at the depth in our running back room, and this is a place that you and I both agree, they probably should find somebody if they can and talk them into coming in, because I think we'd like another body there. I think Cade could be that guy, to be quite honest. He reminds me of Shannon Brooks from Minnesota. But looking at this, like that is a spot where if Wisconsin could start getting back to getting like if they start grabbing some mid 4-star type running backs in that room, then the weapons for Wisconsin start to get a little scary. And I think that that's when Ohio State starts looking at Wisconsin like, okay, now we got to take you seriously. If you're going to start putting 4-stars at the skill positions, now we have to worry about somebody making a mistake. And you can't make up for it athletically. And that's where the difference hits.
I love this comment from Nick Flave. Maybe they're waiting on Flahe. Maybe they're waiting on hiring the running backs coach because we're now a wide receiver U. Let's go. Let's get hyped.
We're just going 5 wide every play.
Let's get hyped, guys. Preston Brodner says super excited for next year. Agreed. Marty Griffin says, do you think Fickell brings back the spring game? I absolutely do.
It sounds like he's doing it. He said it's not going to be necessarily a traditional spring game, but there's probably going to be some type of thing they're setting up for fans.
I love it.
They're going to have a scrimmage or an open practice type thing. I think there'll be a scrimmage period. I don't know if it's going to be a full-on game like some schools do. It will probably be similar to what we've done in the past a few times, where we'll have like a half hour of drills, and then they'll run like a half hour scrimmage period or something where they script plays.
I think the event is what's important.
Yeah.
Right? It's a way to build hype around the program. It's a way to connect fans with the program. By the way, what if fans do? Fans give money to NIL. Mm-hmm. Fans get to the game. Fans help you recruit. Like,
I am 100%. I'm 100% interested in seeing how they market this. I want to see the difference and see how big of a deal they make out of it, because people have always complained about how we never had great fan support at the event anyways. You never heard about it. I knew about spring games because I knew every other team held one. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin never published it out there. Like, if they did like a family night thing the way Green Bay does it, like, Ryan, I think they can get 25, 30,000 people there.
Ryan just said the exact same thing. Something like the Packer family night would be cool. All right, we're going to wrap it up there. We're at 35 minutes. Again, I don't get to everybody. I do try to keep these relatively light because I don't want to bring anybody. I mean, not that you can't drop off, but you can't drop off.
Yeah.
I really do appreciate everybody tuning in. Wes, I see you. I guess I was about 8 hours late dropping this one. Mike Witt. Yeah, a bunch of comments in here still going on. Ryan Herrings as running back coach. Listen, I would be.
Yeah.
I would be.
We had an offensive line coach there, and I think we're getting even worse if we put
Ryan. Don't want an IT guy teaching your running backs how to get through a hole. I'll tell you this though, I would grind on the portal on the recruiting trail.
You'd be like that analytics commercial where the woman's sitting there talking to the football players. That'd be Ryan being like, well, if you run this way, it's a 15% chance of.
Listen. The running backs would not get better under my tutelage, but I would grind. I would live on the road. I would be outside every recruit's house. I would get us talent.
And now you're hearing why Ryan's wife would never let this.
Yes. All right, we're gonna wrap up there, y'all. I really do appreciate. Oh, Mike, this is a great one. Fit Ryan versus Justin.
It's Ryan. I'm not. If we do a bench press, it's gonna be me easy. But if we're gonna do him, it's gonna be running.
Yeah, that's not even close. Let's go, Ryan. All right, we're going to finish that up. Justin, appreciate it. Everyone in the chat, appreciate y'all. Show with John Garcia drops tomorrow. We did the interview today. Let me tell you this, just as a bit of a tease, what he is seeing from Wisconsin. Again, I asked him, because we're all hype as Wisconsin fans, obviously. But I said, you're a national recruiting guy. What, from a national perspective, you know, what is Wisconsin doing? He said, this is unprecedented. Bringing in three transfer quarterbacks and this many receivers in this amount of time. He said, I've never seen this. And John Garcia doesn't blow smoke. Like, he's never seen this. So
the one thing I want to say about that is simply this. We've also gone into a different area with the transfer portal, which changes it a little bit. I think it does correlate to, like, Clemson, some of the other teams that have kind of slipped into there. Now, Clemson has a better recruiting base to work from, but it's very much similar to how they made the leap from being, like, they would recruit top 25, top 20, to being suddenly top 5.
Yeah, no, I agree very much with that. Brett McDonald loves John Garcia. We all love John Garcia. And I want to finish up here. The hard part for me to finish up is great comments keep coming in, so y'all keep me engaged. Wes Mullenix says, seriously, this channel is the best talk show out there. Appreciate you, Wes. You should let us help support the channel. And he mentioned Super Chats. I just want to – we're not going to ever do Super Chats on here because I'm worried it might – I don't want anything for Lockdown Badgers to be behind a paywall. Right. And Super Chats aren't a paywall, but what if I'm talking about a transfer quarterback and then someone drops a $50 Super Chat and says, can you please talk about the third string guard? Well, I'm probably going to feel like I need to do that, but most people aren't going to want that. So there'll never be a paywall. I am thinking about doing something in the Discord. If people do want to support the show, there's a way to do something inside there. But again, there will never be an obligation, and everything Locked On will be, it'll always be free. So it'll never be a paywall there. But I am maybe thinking about something in the Discord just because this does take a lot of time and it is what it is. But I love doing it. I appreciate y'all. And with that, we'll wrap it up. More shows coming up tomorrow. And on Wisconsin, let's keep it going.
Keep an eye out for those burgers, people.
Yes.